It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, to preview all areas of the upcoming football season, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back, the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
Episode 14, huh?
14.
Can't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to lose count pretty quick.
Yeah.
I actually already lost count. You're the one that came up with that.
we're the teenage podcast at this point. We're slamming the door going, hey,
that's exactly right. You know, what's really interesting talking about, you know, we're approaching the end of the football season for most of our teams. You know, we got one team for sure that's going to be in the playoffs.
Go Panthers.
Yeah, and we're looking for looking to see if maybe another team might make it. Mm-hmm. It's going to depend on what happens in this last week. Tony, just any thoughts you got on the season so far?
Well, you know, the season, as far as if you add up the five teams we're covering, the wins and losses, it's not going to look like a huge success. But, man, we've had, I think, teams getting better. I think the Leopards have got better. I think the Lions have got better.
Yes.
Some individual performances that have just been really eye-opening. I mean, some outstanding ones, and we've got a few today that's just going to kind of jump off the page at you. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and the thing about it is, you know, before I was always kind of consumed with the Leopards, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
But now that we've covered these other teams, each one of them has a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're all the stories are different. And it's very interesting to me to talk about the stories as they go through the season, the kids and what they're facing and how it works out.
It's interesting you say that, because I used to be big in fantasy football. I mean, I ran a league. It was a pencil and paper league. We met to draft and had a big meal and stuff like that. And what that did was – keep me involved with more than the Pittsburgh Steelers. It kept me involved in just about every team in the NFL. That's what this podcast has done for me.
Yeah.
It's kept me involved and watching and following the five teams that we're following.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But now we're going to talk about the Leopards a little bit, if you're ready, Tony.
I am ready.
I did want to say, you were talking about quickly about teams and their story and whatnot. Yeah. Panthers, always been one of my favorite teams to listen to and watch. Love them. And again, going to the playoffs, super happy for that and how that goes. But you brought up the Lions, and I've been loving what the Lions have been doing. I'm excited to talk to Philip Fields today. Riley Williamson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolute. All-star who is we weren't even sure.
Well, you know, my favorite, the interesting story. Thing about, and I'm not going to steal Phillip's thunder, the interesting thing, they had to play without him Friday night.
Yeah.
So it'll be the Lions are developing depth, and they're still very young. And like I say, I've got to talk to Coach Castleman on a number of occasions, and he's just so impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't want to scare anybody, but I'd be figuring out how I'm going to keep him around.
Yeah, absolutely.
definitely. That's for sure.
But yeah. Shout out to all the teams.
It really has been something as we approach the end of the season that I have really enjoyed. Yep. And I hope everybody that's listened to us has enjoyed what we're putting out there for
absolutely.
You. Because we really do put some effort into it. Tony puts a lot more effort into it than I do.
Yeah,
but,
and then
Tyler makes it sound like we're actually halfway professional. Which is very difficult to do. He does an outstanding job, and we appreciate you so much for doing that.
Of course.
And then all the people that come on, Jim Cross, Jeff Tuttle, Philip Fields, you know, the coaches, Coach Bell comes on.
And Coach Bell is a boon for the Leopards, I think. He's just listening to him talk, his philosophy behind everything. It's been a really cool season.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about, Horatio's leveling up, Ashdown doing all good as always, Richard Bell bringing a newfound, you know, philosophy and all that to
energy.
Coaching. Energy.
Yep.
I've learned a lot about Dirks. Jeff Tuttle, great guy. You know, we talked to Coach Paul Ernest, who is like, you know, just inspiring,
yes.
Right? All these guys, so
Jeff's
great.
Jeff's added a lot to it. He not only has the voice for radio and the sense of humor you need, kind of a dry sense of humor. He has the face for radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he does. It's perfect.
and, you know, one of the things we've gotten to do, too, that I really enjoyed was talking to some of these special people.
Yeah.
Rex Nelson, amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Arkansas, as far as I'm concerned.
For sure.
And could be governor, I think, if he wanted to be.
Yeah, if he wanted to be, he could be governor. And
Chuck,
you know,
Barrett.
Yeah, Chuck Barrett. Actually, I got to see Chuck Barrett Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went down, and, you know, he was getting ready to do his radio broadcast at the basketball game. And I went down and told him thanks for calling in and letting us do that. You know, so nice. Actually said, anytime, guys.
Nice.
Anytime.
Man.
And I said, don't tell me that. Yeah, you don't mean it.
Yeah. Did you get his number?
I've got his number. Yeah, I've got his number. And we will be calling. Chuck. We will be calling Chuck Barrett again.
My first year of Hogs football and broadcasting it and listening and programming it and doing all the things I told myself was one of my goals is to meet him. So I'm coming down to with you, Bud Walton Arena, soon enough, and I'm going to meet that man.
We'll do it. Otis Kirk, great interview with him. Timely interview, you know, looking to see what happens. But, you know, back to the high school now, looking at the Leopards last week, they played Magnolia. They lose 28-14. My opinion, I think Tony would probably agree with this, best game the Leopards played this year.
Definitely the most competitive game of the season against a good football team that Hooton's picked to finish third in our league. Now, fourth, excuse me. It's not going to turn out that way. They've been hurt by injuries, but the Leopards laid it all on the line, man. They really did. It was two very similar styles. As Magnolia's a run-first team. The Leopards are a run-first team. Which led to a lot of tackles.
Yeah, sure did.
So, but it was a great ball game. We were so afraid we were going to go golf before the Magnolia game, and we decided not to because of the weather forecast. But weather didn't play a factor, Greg.
Not at all. I mean, you know, the field was totally dry.
Yeah,
we walked out on it before the game. Only grass field left in 5A.
Really?
In our conference.
Yeah.
It may be in 5A,
but it's the only one in our conference is still grass.
And Leopards didn't have any trouble with it, huh?
No, didn't have any trouble with it. And they also, you know, I mean, we were afraid it was going to be wet and sloppy. Not at all. The field was dry.
So their field was in tremendously good shape for it to be the end of the season. Yeah. Most teams that still have grass fields by week 9, week 10, their fields are looking pretty ragged.
Yeah.
You know, the Steelers will resaw their field in the middle of a season. These we don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
So I thought the field was in great shape for being this late in the season.
Yeah, but, you know, outstanding defensive performances by several Leopards.
Yeah.
You know, you look at starting at the bottom and going up this way, Kyle Williams, 9 tackles, 4 tackles for loss. I mean, he is Mr. TFL.
Yeah. He is.
That's just what we call him.
Yes.
You know, and 2 sacks. Jonathan Bahina, 64 total yards, 9 tackles, 1 pass defended, 1 forced fumble. Jeremiah. Ulysses Cotto.
Jeremiah
had a great game, too.
He did.
But Ulysses Cotto, 16 tackles with 1 tackle for loss, a pass defended, and a touchdown. And you know, and then we're not even getting to, I guess we can go ahead and say this.
Sure.
Our Gentry Chevrolet Leopard player of the game, sophomore Jake Martin, 18 tackles.
What?
1 yes. tackle for loss and a fumble recovery. 18.
He was
all
everywhere.
Over the field.
He was everywhere.
And the most he's ever.
Yeah. I've statted for 3 high schools, 3 different towns, Hurricane High School, Benton High School, and DeQueen High School. I've been statting since before Debbie and I got married, so more than 30 years, and the most individual tackles that I've seen in a game. Now, I know there's some statisticians that give away tackles like candy. You get one, and you get one, and you get one. That's not the way I do it. I usually give one primary, and if there's somebody secondary to the ball, they get an assist. But and some people will give an assist for everybody that just piles on the top.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm probably a little stingier with tackles than most people are, but 18 tackles is the most that I have ever statted. 11 of those were primary, where he was the first guy to the ball.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Sounds like a great game.
Oh, he's a great young man. I don't know if you got to hear the interview with him that we did after the ball game, but gives the glory to God. Just a great young man.
Nice.
Yeah, we need to put that on here.
We can.
That'd be great. Let's do that.
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah, it's been recorded.
So. Yeah, let's do that. It's been recorded. Let's put that on here.
All right, we're going to listen to that right now.
It's final score, Magnolia 28, DeQueen 14. Let's go down on the field now with Tony.
Coach, I'm going to tell you, I hearken back to the Parkview game and how hard we played against them. Since then, we've given everybody all they want.
Yeah, you take that third quarter away where we had, you know, just a couple of guys that, you know, let them get outside of us. Our corners go inside. You take that third quarter away, you know, and it's a winnable ball game. I think these boys played hard enough and good enough to win a ball game. We had some things go our way, some things that didn't. But outstanding effort by all of them. I mean, you got one standing right there next to you. I don't want to steal your thunder. I'm going to let y'all talk to him. But this kid right here, you know, he's the reason why I coach football. I love these boys, and go Leopards.
Go Leopards. Jake, I tell you, man, I've statted for the Hurricane Redskins, the Bitten Panthers, and the DeQueen Leopards, and I've been statting a long time, every high school that I have been there for years and years and years. First time I've had anybody that I statted got 18 tackles.
So, I mean, you really just got to give all the grace to God, having given me the power to be out there on the field and give me the ability to play like this and give me the ability to do what I do. And I really got to give kudos to our coaching. They taught us great this week, and they put us in position to succeed.
That's awesome, man. You've got a what I'm going to call a high motor. The motivation, you're not a huge person, but it seems like you want to hit people. Where does that come from?
Really just aggression. You know, you can't let the fight come to you. You got to go to the fight, and you got to lay it on them before they lay it on you.
Great job, young man.
Jake Martin. Yeah. Great kid.
Yeah.
Our Gentry Chevrolet Leopard player of the game. You know, one of the things that's interesting about the Leopard game Friday night, we talked about both these teams being running teams. Probably the difference in the game, passing.
Yeah.
We got burned on actually twice. One they missed, the second one they caught. Probably the big difference in the game, don't you think, Tony?
I think so. That you know, the running games, you look at the stats, they're about even. Mm-hmm. And both teams were able to move the ball equally well on the ground. But the ability Magnolia showed a little bit of ability to pass. You know, a team that only passes one time a quarter, they're going to catch you with your pants down some. And if they execute, they're going to hit it big. So
yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, and one of the things that DeQueen did in this game that they hadn't done this year, they won the turnover battle.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just an outstanding effort by them.
They won the toss as well.
That's right. They did win the toss.
How important is that?
How important? Well,
has anybody ever statted that to see how many games somebody has won or lost based
on?
I'm sure that's out there somewhere. That's something I've never done. But one thing I have noticed is the Leopards have struggled at the coin toss this year. I think that's the second time that we've won the toss. Yeah. Both times we've elected to receive, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, it is.
We were talking on the radio, Patrick and I, about the coin toss and how that's normally sponsored when you watch it on something. And now it's the Slurpee King coin toss. And if your team loses the toss, you might never buy Slurpee King ever again just because they've sponsored it. It's a dangerous one to sponsor.
Yeah, you're actually right. Well, you know, and I think one of the things you ask about how important it is, mm-hmm. if you're undefeated, probably not so much. Mm-hmm. If you're like the Leopards, I think just winning a coin toss is a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it just gives you a little bit extra, you know, a little extra.
It also depends on what kind of start you get off, too. We've seen that the Cubs take the ball, win the coin toss, take the ball, and then hold it for a quarter and into the second quarter, which that's a huge deal if you can do that. Now, if you go three and out, it's probably not as big a deal.
Right, right. But if you win a coin toss, because mentally things matter. So you win a coin toss and you get on that field and a nice quick drive gets you a football right or a touchdown right off the bat, you're probably feeling really, really good.
That's exactly right.
I think the Leopards – at least I think from a philosophy standpoint, they're doing the right thing by taking the ball if they win the toss, because you never know when that 18-play, you know, 9-minute, 10-minute drive is going to come up, and then you've really set the tone for the game if you do that.
So. Well, shout out to them, man. A lot of resistance. And, I mean, I was here in Magnolia, very strong team, like giving the Leopards no chance. And with that many tackles, that many impressive defensive stats. That's awesome.
Oh, well, they did a great job.
I'm telling you what, it was a 7-7 at the half.
Yeah.
The first 6 minutes of the second half got away from us a little bit. Greg is exactly right to hit on a couple of passes that kind of opened it up a little bit. And it was a time, Greg, and I don't. I'll apologize to anybody I need to apologize to. In the past, the Leopards might have quit.
Yeah,
they did not quit.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they come back, got a TD of their own, and then got the ball back and was moving the ball. Not enough time.
And it's no disrespect to the kids, but I think Coach Richard Bell has this kind of, I don't know, man. He seems like an old school football guy.
Gravitas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's able to kick people into gear and stuff. And then you got a guy that you want to fight for, right?
I'm going to tell you something about Richard Bell. I don't know this, but watching him, he wants to hit somebody.
Yeah.
And he could.
I'm telling you.
And if he did, he would hurt them.
Every great play a Leopard makes, you watch Coach Bell, he's chest bumping them on the side.
Yeah.
And this year is we've still got one more shot at one, but is there going to be a bunch of W's? No, there's not. Is there a bunch of individual successes to build on for next year?
Yes.
Absolutely. And he celebrates every one of them.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. I mean, you ought to see him running up down the sidelines and what he does when people come off, they get a fumble, they get a big tackle. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's right in there with them. And that, you know,
and I don't know if, I patted him on the back as he left the studio. Yeah. He's made of solid steel.
Oh, yeah. I stay way away from him. I definitely try not to make him mad.
Yeah.
But you know, moving on to this week's game, Tony, a team that last year we had, I would say, some success with. We ended up losing the game, but we
were ahead late in the game.
We were.
Arkansas High is a school, for whatever reason, we've always played them the last week of the year, which probably has something to do with it, but the games have been very, very competitive. Mm-hmm. And we have it at home this year on senior night. Now, to their credit, they seem to be a little better this year than they have been in the last two or three years. They're 5-4 overall, 2-4 in the league, but they are out of the playoff hunt in the 5A South. So does that have an effect on them or not? They're beat Hope last week, though, 38-0. Yeah. But that's a game, too, you don't know what kind of attitude Hope went into the game with either. Biggest win of the year by far, is, in my opinion, a 36-14 win over Arkadelphia, which now looks like, you know, you beat the 85 Bears.
That's exactly right, the way Arkadelphia plays. And you know, I'm saying, and I'll say it on here right now, if we play like we played last week, Arkansas High is in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
It's a winnable game.
Because I think one of the things that happens, mental attitude, like Tony said, is so important in this last game. Coach Bell is not – we're going to have a very positive mental attitude to close the season outright. These guys are they're going to be ready to put their pads up.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready to go play basketball or lift weights, do whatever they do after the season. And I think that's going to make the game a lot closer and a lot more winnable for us than – It could be. But now, one of the things I will tell you is, as Tony said, they're better than they were last year.
Very talented.
Yeah.
Well, I learned from Rex Nelson, best high school football attributes you could have for a team is a good kicker and a solid defensive line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we play defense like we did, and we have like an actual Leopard on the field like Jake, who's an actual Leopard.
Yeah.
Clearly 18 tackles.
That's right. And, you know, we had a kicker – Our regular kicker got hurt, Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Got hurt. So Angel Gonzalez kicked and did an excellent job.
Nice.
Yeah. Hit on both extra points. Put the ball in the end zone one time.
Yeah.
So on the kickoff, I mean, of course, the Razorbacks, they have all state quarterback coming back, Nate Wall. And we'll have to do a better job in pass defense than we did against the Panthers. And they have a junior running back, Cortland Loudermilk. He's only 6'2", 215, and has 4.5 speed.
Yeah, he was good last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a really good player. He's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough assignment. You know, senior night, last chance to see the Leopards come out Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Thursday.
That's right.
I said that wrong. Thursday night. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, November 2nd, Thursday night, 7 p.m., Leopard Stadium. Be there.
Unfortunately, we will not be airing this on, at least not on this station. So it will air on AM, and it will air on 102.1. But on this station, we will be doing a live event.
Yeah.
So I wish we could play this.
We'll be doing the Building Expo.
That's right. Building Expo. We might play it somewhere earlier in the day. Yeah. But if you're listening to this now, that doesn't matter because
that's right.
Hey, get Jeff over here to explain
how that Tuesdays, works. Wednesdays, yeah. unless yeah. Wednesdays,
Jeff
Thursday.
Apparently yeah. understands time travel and he can.
I just think, you know, Thursday night, 7 o'clock at Leopard Stadium, senior night. Come, you know, there's a lot of seniors on this team that have worked extremely hard for 5+ years. And it's time to honor them.
Yeah.
And not only them, you've got cheerleaders, you've got the award-winning band members who are today, Tuesday, if you're there at the state competition in Little Rock. So go band.
Yeah, go band. That's right.
That's exactly
right.
Man,
they are
excellent.
If you've not seen the Leopard Marching Band, you need to come out and see it because they are – Daniel Dunn has done an amazing job with our band.
He really has. He really has. We got it all. So just come out and see it, and we look forward to that, and we look forward to a Leopard win this week.
Absolutely.
Go Leopards.
Go Leopards. Harris Drug and Gifts, 205 DeQueen Avenue in downtown DeQueen, beautiful downtown DeQueen. Not a homely store, a homie store.
That's
where
exactly
all my homies
right.
are at.
That's right.
Yeah. Shout out to... Renee Logan.
Yep.
She is super cool and always super friendly. You go in there, you pick up your prescriptions. It's a very delightful experience. Gifts as well. Beautiful floors, beautiful building, nice people. Their over-the-counter medicine is huge. Tons of stuff, like literally everything that you could need.
That's exactly
you can,
right.
You can feel better now and later. Yeah. By taking both the quick release and long lasting.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
And you know what?
What?
If you can't get there, they'll deliver it to you.
That's right. Absolutely. And they also have a bridal registry, gift wrapping. It's Harris Drug and Gifts for a reason. So you can go pick up gifts for anybody in the family, have it wrapped, or bridal registry if you want to have that done there.
They know how to wrap a gift.
They do. They
it's
do.
Not like not when I like wrap me. One.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's rough. Yeah. It's rough when I wrap a gift. But yeah, we appreciate them so much. They sponsor so much for the radio station, the Leopards, the podcast. We appreciate Harris Drug and Gifts so much.
Yeah, thank y'all so much.
Yep. And they bring you the Lions Talk every week on this podcast. Do you guys want to go ahead and hop in?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Lions.
Yeah, because we are going to have Philip Fields in studio here in just a minute. So,
from all reports, Kel Ream did a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. I slept on the Junction City Dragons, man. When they came out, it was that was a rough start to the game, but Lions never gave up.
No, they didn't give up and you know, got beat 62-21, but they didn't quit you know, with zero notice, Kel Ream steps in at quarterback. And so, you know, what we're going to talk about, you know, we're going to talk with Philip Fields in just a second about more about the details about it. But, you know, we're going to name Kel Ream our Horatio State Bank Lions Player of the Game.
Very cool.
The reason we're going to do that is not only for his play, but just for his willingness to step up and be the man and take Riley Williamson's spot there. And just an amazing job by him just to do it. And from all accounts, did a great job.
Absolutely. And, we got Philip Fields in studio right now. And I do want to give a shout out to him and Connor Cowan for great broadcasts all year.
All right, thanks. Yeah, Kel Ream, man, what a great job to step in at the last minute. Riley got sick with his stomach Friday morning suddenly and had to go home. And so short notice there for Kel to step in and run the offense. But, you know, he was 5-for-16 for 105 yards through 2 touchdowns. He had 12 rushes for 47 yards. I mean, you know, not bad for stepping in cold.
No. Great job by Kyle.
Rylan helped out too. He was 7-for-21. He helped out a little bit on the quarterback side too. Ishmael Tenero caught 2 catches for 10 yards, and Trey Smith caught 2 for 65 yards and 2 TDs. You know, Trey Smith catching 2 TDs. He's really been a bit of a surprise this year in terms of his receiving ability, and he's his ability to find the open space in the field is really what has allowed him to get those touchdowns. He's had several touchdowns this year, catches for TDs, and he just goes to that empty spot and gets open. And you know, and that's, you know, you can coach that, but until a player gets on the field,
yeah.
You don't know if it's going to take or not. And that's the amazing thing about the games, is that, you know, you try to replicate those things in practice. Coach Clance Castleman does a great job of that. But until they get on the field and start playing an opponent, that's when you see them come through. And it's such an honor over the last 20 years to be able to broadcast football and watch teams and watch them go through that progression, watch them mature. Watch a young man mature. Watch his ability to make decisions in critical situations and come through. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and Tony and I were talking about this earlier today, about not only about the teams that we broadcast, but all these teams we talk about here. It's given us new perspective on all these different teams and right. The things people are going through. And it's just been a really good time for us to do this. But I appreciate you bringing that out also, because that's true. So had a lot of fun down there at Junction City, did we?
yeah, we did. We got in there, got started, went over to Louisiana and had some barbecue, which was 5 minutes from the stadium.
Yeah.
And we got in there, we got set up, and we were just getting ready for the kickoff when we were told we had to move. So rather than unhook and rehook, I just gathered everything up and walked down to the next spot and rehooked. We missed about the first minute and a half of the game and broadcasting. Where that threw me off was that I was expecting to see Riley. I didn't know Riley had gotten ill earlier in the day. And so when I got set down and everything and stuff, and we started broadcasting and then started play-by-play, I didn't see him. So my assumption was he'd been injured. So I assumed for the whole game that he had been injured, but he was not. So anybody out there that listened to the broadcast Friday night, I was about subbing in for Cale Reams, subbing in for an injured Riley. He wasn't injured. He was ill. So
Philip, had Cale taken any snaps this season before that moment?
Probably three or four.
Yeah,
probably three or four. But that was about it.
Yeah.
And where you also missed now Riley Williamson, where you also missed him, was in that defensive safety spot. Man, we that really hurt.
How many touchdowns has he saved this year?
more than I'm going to count. More than I'm going to count. When it gets and his ability to play safety has improved too. At first he played very aggressive and he was playing really up on the ball, but then he learned again. The job of safety is to stay back. You don't want to play quite so aggressively. If Ishmael Taniero misses that tackle coming in from his linebacker spot, you got to be there behind him to take that guy down. And he's done a phenomenal job of that. And that's the thing. First quarter, we had a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. We had a strip that was returned for a touchdown. That it never came out. It was stripped from Pickett, and then we had a bobbled punt return. He bobbled the ball hit the ground, 22-yard line. That was returned for a touchdown. So we gave up three touchdowns in the first quarter, defensively.
Yeah.
So that. That put us behind by 21 points and makes for a long game. But they did a great job of getting back in it. Never gave up, you know, stayed with it the whole way. Our first touchdown was actually against their starting defense. Horatio played a competitive game. You know, they played a good game and they stuck with it. Again, personnel issues and everything we overcame those. You know, overall, really proud of the Horatio Lions football team for sticking with it. For working through some adversity and coming through it. I'm really proud of them.
Well, great job. And you got home, sometime Saturday afternoon?
I did. Actually, we spent the night in Magnolia.
You did?
Spent the night in Magnolia, and came back Saturday morning. It's a long drive from Junction City back to Mena, where I live, and you can't get from there to here anyway.
Yeah.
So, we just spent the night in Magnolia and had breakfast and came home that next day.
Great. Well,
the GPS just, you can't get there from here.
It just starts saying, Rick, recalculating. Yeah, okay. Well, we're just going to stay here.
Yep, I understand that. Been there. Well, moving forward to this week, Philip got a daunting task.
Yeah, playing Prescott, a great team in Prescott. I think they're rated number two in the 3A right now. right behind Boonville, who's rated number one. Wow, you know, a lot of tradition up there in Boonville, too.
Yeah.
A lot of great teams. And, yeah, I mean, we've always played Prescott competitively, and we'll continue to do that. Should be a great game. This is my overlap week. I'll have my first basketball broadcast tonight for Cossart River School District. then Thursday night we'll go to Prescott for the last 2023 football game with Horatio Lyons. So I've got a lot of athletics tonight, this week.
Yeah, you're getting it's that time of the year.
It's going to be that time of the year for us here in a week or two as well.
Right,
that's true.
Yeah.
I think actually next week basketball starts for the exhibition game for the Leopards, Lady Leopards.
Sure. Yeah, yes, and then we'll next week's show will probably be a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I do love broadcasting basketball. Logistically, it's not quite as challenging as football is. Of course, games don't last quite as long, but man, I tell you what, you broadcast two basketball games in one evening, and you're ready to go home and get your snack, go to bed.
Yeah, I'll tell you what,
the energy will really drain it out of you.
I keep those halls, the defense, they seem to keep my mouth moist better than anything, and I'll go through two or three of those a broadcast, just in and out. Greg probably thinks it's disgusting, but I sit there in and out.
Do you call by yourself?
Basketball, I do by myself. Yeah.
I've done that a couple of times. Tony's done it a lot more than I have. Very, very, very mentally draining,
right,
for me to call a game by myself, and just not, you know, because there's nobody to bounce anything off of, nothing. You're just calling the game, you're talking about things, and
you're Vin Scully without the Vin Scully talent.
Aren't we all?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's basketball. I mean, you've got to stay on top of it. It's the pace is so fast, and I'm really fortunate there. Coach Reggie Fryer or Reggie Fryer, the teacher at Costaud, he does stats, and he usually sets just over to the left of me, and he cooperates with me really well. If I'm missing something, I'll go over a few things and notes when we get little breaks, and he is a super asset there. My wife will often come with me, and she'll...
Will she not put a headset on?
No, she does not. She does not. She hasn't shown any interest in that.
I tell you, the first time I called something by myself, it was a softball game, and I can tell you what the play was now. I was calling it, and all of a sudden, so the ball's hit to the shortstop, bounces off her glove, goes out to the center fielder. The center fielder kicks it to the second baseman, and the second baseman throws somebody out at third base.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm watching all that. I'm just
right
dead air, you know. Yeah. I finally realized I'm supposed to be talking, you know. And I go, I'm sorry, folks, but there was just so much happening. I couldn't explain.
You can blame the AAA and all their wisdom. They schedule a game for like Sunday at noon.
Right.
Something like crazy like that.
Well, last year, my first basketball game for Costaud River, it's whenever we started broadcasting for them. In the first quarter, I'm calling the game and everything stuff, and then there's some activity happening to him to the left of him, but I don't know what it is. And then all of a sudden the ref stops play and everything, and the ref throws a technical, and I don't know who the technical's on. And I'm like, okay, folks, we've got some stuff that have gone on here, I think it was Akron. Akron's going to be shooting free throws because we've had a technical. I don't know who the technical was on. But if I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Well, somebody up we need to sit around one day and just talk about stuff like this. I was at another place, not at the Coliseum, calling the Leopards. I was at another place. The official stopped the game and threw about 20 fans out.
Oh, wow.
And matter of fact, the AD had to come out on the floor and say, if you people don't start behaving, we're just going to send everybody home, and these kids are going to finish the game in an empty gym. And I was just saying, we need to go to commercial break now.
And I told Tony, I said, if I'd been there, I'd been calling them out by name.
Sure. Well, for everybody that's listening to the podcast and understand, if you never had an opportunity to broadcast a radio in particular, the thing is you're focused on what's happening. And if there's something happening behind you or off of the focus, you don't know what
that
is.
Well, you've got headsets on. All you can really hear is your partner or, you know, the people in the back at the radio station or things like that. You don't hear everything.
Yeah.
And Yeah, it can get confusing.
That's where it's good to have a desk where you're sitting at, or an open press box instead of individual cubes, because you can go to break, you can take your headset off, you can ask the guy beside you that run the scoreboard or whatever, the stat guy, say, hey, do you know, can you tell me what the heck just happened?
Yeah, That's exactly right. And the reason I call basketball games so I won't yell so much.
Right.
You know, if I'm up in the stands, I just yell at the officials.
I got you.
But if I'm on the call, I can't do that. And I realize that.
Right.
I still say a little bit, but not much. But you know, I just sit there. I sit there with Tony, and like I tell people, I'm just a comedic relief. That's all I am. But anyway, back to football. Sorry, we got off track there for a minute.
Right.
Big task for the Horatio Lions this week. They got the Prescott Curley Wolves undefeated in the state of Arkansas.
Right.
Lost to McAllister, Oklahoma, which is a great big school.
Yeah, big school.
And they barely lost that game.
Right.
And they've got all kinds of talent. They've got a baseball, D1 baseball commit and quarterback, senior Pierce Yates.
Yeah, I saw that.
Got several running backs and wide receivers with speed that kills, 4.6, 4.5 speed. And they had four of the leading returning tacklers coming back in the
conference.
Great defense.
Yeah, so they got, they've got it all, and it's going to be a big task for the Lions. But, one of the things that we talked about a little bit about with the Leopards, and I think it's realistic to talk about this with the Lions too, is that, we can't measure everything in wins and losses all the time.
Right.
You look at what Coach Castleman has done down there. I mean, you look at Riley Williamson. We'll use him for an example. We talk about him a lot. The progress he's made all year long.
Sure.
That's going to bode well for the future. All these young players that Coach Castleman is working with, and it's going to pay dividends. While you may not see it right tonight or this week, you will see it in the future.
Sure. And you see them mature, and you see that progression in the team. And looking at a team like Prescott, you're not going to focus quite so much on the scores. You're going to be, are we executing our offense well? Are we tackling well? Are we doing what we're coached to do?
Yes.
And then you just let the scoreboard take care of itself. Whether you come out on the end of the game and the scoreboard, if you feel you played well, you executed your defense well, you executed your offense well, that's what you want to do. You want to mature, you want to play well. And at the end of the game, if you know in your heart that you've given your best, didn't you win?
Yeah. That's exactly right. I couldn't say it any better.
Well, Prescott has to play McAllister, Oklahoma, because they can't get anybody in Arkansas to play them non-conference.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest with each other, which means they have a lot of talent. Now, one of the good news things I see as far as the Curly Wolves go and as far as the Lions go is they have a bunch of seniors.
Right.
They have a bunch of seniors, mm-hmm. and a lot of their skill position players are seniors. So maybe there's an opening there for the Lions, in the future.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And, I'm not going to have time because I got to run to Tulsa on Saturday, but if I'd have had time, I would want to go to the Friday night game at Murfreesboro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah. I would like to watch that game.
It's like on Thursday, though.
Yeah.
Oh, they're playing on Thursday.
On Thursday? It's not a Friday night game. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I had my dates wrong, but that game between Mineral Springs and Murfreesboro, that would be a good one.
Yeah, it should be a good game. We think it's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
Anything else before we finish this off, Philip?
That'll do it. It's been a great football season. Going to be winding it up Thursday night against Prescott, and go Lions.
Go Lions. Go Lions. Now, one other thing before we let you go, though. We will be talking to you about Costot River basketball because we're going to move forward.
Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air All-Star team.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Philip's going to be involved in picking. Jeff's going to be involved in that. Jim Cross.
Yeah.
And that'll be coming up in the next two or three weeks, so stay tuned for that as well.
Sounds good. Costot River, exciting basketball team. Really enjoyed them last year. Got several players coming back. Coach Brian Richardson does a great job with his team. Mm-hmm. He is a great coach, and he is a great friend. We've had a chance to visit a good little bit. Loves his players, loves the game.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it as we move forward with this podcast.
All right.
We appreciate everything you've done with us during football season, all your insight and everything you've given to us has been a tremendous help. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, there for all of your pet's needs, Greg.
All over Southwest Arkansas, yeah. They got you covered.
Covered.
Call them, 870-642-VETS.
Mm-hmm.
Vets, 8387, Tyler.
Got it. I see that now.
Yeah.
It's all written right
that's
here.
That's 1690 there. Highway 70.
Those handy West button numbers. I don't even know what that's about.
Yeah.
You remember when, you remember rotary phones, right, Greg?
Yeah.
Okay.
yeah, I do remember rotary phones.
Yeah. Do you remember not liking anybody with zeros in their number? Like you go 903-899-9009.
Yeah.
I'm never calling you.
That's right. Too long.
yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking around my cell phone. Those letters are on the push button.
Hey, look at that.
Too. Yeah,
they Vets. Are. Yeah. That's all you need to know. Just call that number. Or if you're looking to get in touch with Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, 870-898-5181. Again, there for all your pets' needs. So they do spay and neuter, which they do an amazing job. When I bring them in, it's very professional. They love my pets as much as I love them. Kept them overnight. And then in the morning, super bang-up job. It's not like it used to be, where it's like pull out the needle and thread. Whatever they do, it's very, very, you know, good quality, you know. And it's
called professional.
It's all called professionalism. There you go.
There you go. They are professionals mm-hmm. at it.
College boy using those words.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Dr. Martin does a great job
yes.
with both small and large animals. You know, you can get your flea and tick prevention. You can get your heartworm prevention there. Spay and neutering, everything you want. They will actually board your pets.
Yes, yes.
They will do that too. So you can have all those things by DeQueen Animal Hospital and DeQueen and Ashdown Vet Clinic in Ashdown. Coverage all over Southwest Arkansas for all your veterinary needs.
We appreciate them so much for sponsoring the podcast and taking part in this, what we're trying to do. And they're great. They're great. I use them. I try and use all of anybody who sponsors with us first, and I'm glad because that is it's 2 seconds sure. from my house. If I have an emergency, I know I can bring them in. And flea, tick, worms, all that stuff, it's off my mind, right, Greg?
That's right. No worms on
no
my
worms.
Mind.
No worms.
No worms on my mind.
Maybe you know, in my brain.
Yeah, not on your mind.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, and you know, by the way, you know, we actually had the opportunity to eat next to Dr. Martin and Jennifer Friday, and just lovely people. Couldn't
yep.
be better people. Great to work with. They do whatever you want them to do. They're willing to help
big
in the
athletic
community.
Boosters.
That's right. Mm. Yep, they're big boosters of the athletic department, and also this podcast. And we appreciate them so much.
Awesome. Well, I know we have Jim Cross on the line to talk about the Panthers. Jim,
great news this week. Panthers win.
Yeah, it feels good to win, guys. I got to say Panther touchdown several times. The offense was going, and the running game over 190 yards, that's a season high. Offensive line was doing well, so it was a great night at homecoming at DK Stadium.
You know, I told Greg as this game is getting closer that this was going to be a good football game, and it sounds like for a good while, it was a good football game.
Mm.
Yeah, halftime 14-14. And guys, what's interesting, I didn't know this till after the game. I noticed in the first series that they had their running back, Sullivan, in the Wildcat. And I thought, okay, well, maybe they're just trying to give us a different wrinkle. In the second series, the quarterback didn't come out, and he never played. And I asked what happened, and he broke his arm in pregame.
Oh,
wow. That's Dax McMillan, right?
Yeah,
I tell you, a great talent and a young athlete, and we wish him the best. I did not know that, but I could see where that would hamper Mina's offense a good bit.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
he was throwing the ball all over the field.
Yeah, so I mean, we felt really good about the victory, obviously, but you know that certainly kind of took some of the wind out of the sails, worrying about that young man, and then to show the Mina coaching staff how they surrounded the team 30 minutes before the game and were able to stay with us for a half. I mean, that shows a lot about their team and their coaching staff.
It does. Come up with a game plan basically 30 minutes before a ball game starts. And, you know, Mina has some tough backs. They also have Brody Peters, who's a tough back. So I imagine even on the ground, even though you knew where they were no threat to throw the ball, I don't imagine they were easy to stop.
Yeah, no, they ran a draw play two or three times and faked it about as well as I've seen all year. And, yeah, Brody Peters, he had a big game. He had a 60-yard run in the first half, and, yeah, he was hard to handle.
Yeah, he's a really good athlete. I mean,
good basketball player.
He is, and the thing, and this is no slight on Brody because I respect him a lot. He doesn't look like he would be a great athlete, but everything I've seen him do, he does really well. So
yeah, he does.
I'll tell you, Jim. You know, I can tell how well the Panthers did by how long your email was. A lot longer this week, but you know, it really covered just about every facet of the game. I mean, you know, you had Grayson Porter just doing a great job at quarterback, four touchdowns, two in the air, two on the ground. You know, the offensive line, you know, which if you want to know this, the offensive line is our Horatio State Bank player of the game.
All right, good.
For the Panthers this week, because they did such an outstanding job, you know, and in season high in rushing, just seems like everything came together for the Panthers just in time for the playoffs. You think that way?
Yeah, I really did. And Coach Richardson's been saying the last couple of weeks, hey, we're getting ready for week 11. Week 11 is when we want to be our best. And talking to him yesterday, he said we played our best game offensively and defensively. And that's what you're hoping for at this point of the season, especially after the three tough games that we played before Mina. So, the coaches are excited. The players are – I think they're relieved, too, at being at homecoming and a lot of people there. And gosh, you didn't want to have a four-game losing streak going into playoffs. That would have been really, really tough.
Well, so, you know, and a shout-out to Craig Bentley. You know, Craig Bentley is putting together a pretty good program at MENA, and if the conferences stay the same, Jim, I could see that three-headed monster turning into a four-headed monster if MENA starts to get better.
Oh, I agree, because most of their guys are young. The Sullivan twins are juniors. The quarterback's a sophomore. I think Peters is a junior too, isn't he?
Yes.
And, so, that's not good news for us. But, they're as good as I've seen them in a while, and I just think they'll get better.
So Panthers have an open date this last week of the season going into the playoffs, and I know that you don't know who you're going to play yet, and we'll talk more about that next week anyway. But any banged-up players that this extra week's going to help? I'm sure at this point in time, you know, there's got to be a couple of players that it's going to be good for them to get an extra week of rest.
Yeah, Antonio McDuffie, our cornerback and running back and kick returner, who's kind of our dynamic guy, he got a little banged up, and I talked to him yesterday. He'll be ready to go in 2 weeks, but he's pretty sore. Tremell Williams, our safety, he's kind of dealing with an ankle injury. So that'll be good for him. And Grayson Porter, our quarterback, I mean, he runs as hard and takes as many licks as anybody I've ever seen. And so certainly a week of no contact will certainly help him as well. And then Caleb Blankenship, our defensive tackle and tight end, he's been kind of battling an ankle as well. And those guys, I think it'll really help in this off week. And Coach Richardson's, he didn't practice too hard yesterday, did a lot of film work, weight work. And then today is going to be kind of a light day. And then they'll kind of pick it up Wednesday and Thursday. And so I think that'll help these guys.
Just a couple of things, Jim, before we let you go. One is, was this the designed off week and the one earlier in the season was because of the eight-man football, or was that the designed week and this one was the design of the eight-man football? Because I could see some genius in having your off week this week.
Well, actually, both of them were eight-man football because we lost Genoa and Fountain
Lake. That's right. That's exactly right. You lost too.
So usually we used to play Fountain Lake the last game, and we had talked about, Coach Richards and I talked about playing a team out of Memphis, and then the more they talked about that, they decided that it wouldn't be a good idea to play a game. It doesn't matter in week 10. If you're playing in week 5, you know, that's fine, but you'd hate to play a game in week 10 and somebody turn an ankle in a game that doesn't have any significance other than just playing it.
Right. Well, once again, I want to read these young men's name out loud, our Horatio State Bank players of the game. For the Panthers are going to be Avery Buster, Wyatt Jones, Gary Jenkins, Colton Rowe, Ernie Morrell, and Radarius Norman, the offensive line of the Ashdown Panthers.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, guys, because they've kind of taken a lot of negativity in the community. You know how it goes. If you don't run the ball well, it's always the offensive line's fault, and they've gotten better. And so you can really see it. And I think that the two big keys of the offensive line are Avery Buster, the center, and then Wyatt Jones, the kind of the old, we call him the old man of the group. Those guys have really stabilized the offensive line. And in my opinion, those guys are having all conference type seasons.
And Jim, you've just been steady all season, and we really appreciate you giving us insight on Panther football all year.
Hey, I've enjoyed it. It's been fun.
Could I ask probably a stupid question?
Sure.
This game was very pivotal as the last one on placement, right, in the playoff seeds,
yes,
right,
yes,
and all that.
Yes.
Can you explain to somebody who might not understand exactly why, you know, these games are so pivotal in going into the playoffs on where you go and, you know, how many, I mean, do you guys get to play at home at all during the playoffs? I don't understand this.
No, we would have had to beat Nashville to play at home. We'll go on the road. It looks like right now, if things go like they're supposed to, we'll go to Pocahontas. And if we'd have lost to Mena, we'd have probably gone to Rivercrest. And I'm not saying Pocahontas isn't a good team. They're very talented. But Rivercrest is probably one of your three or four top teams in 4A. Yeah. And so in either place is 4 hours away. So all those kinds of things are big. So the Nashville game was huge from the perspective of we would have gotten a home game. But this game we're going to play, looks like Pocahontas, unless Blyville upsets Rivercrest, and then that would kind of turn things upside down. But as of now, it looks like we'll be going to Pocahontas.
Right. So it's like the better you do during the conference season, the less you might have to travel, more people come to you.
Yes.
I see.
If you're the one or the two seed, you're going to get a home game guaranteed.
Mm.
And if you're the three seed, they alternate it back and forth.
Yeah.
And then if you're the four seed and the five seed, let's just say we upset Pocahontas. Chances are we'll be on the road again.
Right.
That was a great question, Tom.
All right, good.
My mama always said there's no silly questions, just silly people that ask questions.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great question. I got to tell you guys something kind of funny here that you'll enjoy. Not very funny, but I think y'all enjoy this. I went to high school with Buck James. We're good friends. You know, he's the Conway coach. Mm-hmm. And so since we have an off week, I'm thinking about driving over to Conway and watching Conway and Bryant play.
Yeah. I may go with Jim.
just to – see my old buddy Buck James, and of course I tell everybody I taught him everything he knows about football. But he never gives me the credit for it. So I don't know what the problem is.
That sounds like an amazing thing to do. That'd be a great game.
Yeah.
You know, people have been looking forward to that game all year long. So I think that'd be a great game to
talk
go
about
through.
Two teams that are going to know each other better than anybody else.
That's
going to be Bryant and Conway.
That's true. And if for some reason Bryant wins, I might need to pray over Buck to get him out of there.
That's true. Well, Jim, we appreciate you every week, and we look forward to talking to you next week as we enter into the playoffs.
Hey, sounds good. You guys have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Go Panthers.
Go Panthers.
Go Panthers.
The Dr. Randy Walker Empire.
Yes, they have you covered at Walker Clinic, 777. 7 days a week, 7 to 7. Also, if you need help after hours, just call 870-584-3000, option 6, and you will speak to a person. They're there every day.
Nice.
For all your medical needs, physicals, drug screens, workers' comp, x-rays, wound care, fracture care, joint injections, adult and pediatric allergy and immunizations. We haven't talked about that. They do allergy work out there too, which is very good. They're there for all your needs.
And on campus full service medical clinic, that's Leopard Care Clinic. It supports the students' success because healthy students are better learners. 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. We're blessed to have it.
Yeah, on campus, that's amazing. Also, Simple Simon's Pizza, dine in, carry out, delivery. Buffet, 870-642-4103. My gosh, Greg and I went there after the show last week.
Yeah, it
was and great. There was no wings.
Yeah, I was looking. Yeah.
He just goes in and he just goes, and they're gone, I guess. Or maybe he makes them happen. I don't know. You're like Houdini or something. I still don't believe it. But
that's a reoccurring theme on this podcast. You notice that?
Yeah.
It's probably the only thing we've talked about on all 14 episodes.
Yeah. The wings and apple simons. Let me hey, just they're say really this. Good.
If they didn't offer wings at $8.99,
it'd still be a great deal.
I wouldn't blame them. No. Still a great. If they do, holy cow. I've never seen it though, so we'll see. We'll see, Greg. They said
get the wings ready. We're coming.
Yeah, they say their wing shipment comes in on Tuesday, so it's later in the week on the buffet that you can get the wings. So he says, like that guy, he said, come on Thursday.
Yeah, they were out.
You'll see wings on the buffet. So he did. yeah.
We probably cleaned them out.
Yeah, probably. I saw Greg slip him a 20 though to say that, so I'm not sure. But yeah, they cater and all kinds of stuff. So if you've got an event going on, you're going to watch some basketball that's starting up, some NBA. If you're watching the UFC fights, if you're watching football, it doesn't matter. They can cater your sports deal and feed your entire party. And that's a great weight off your mind when you're hosting a thing and you go, oh man, you got to get all this stuff ready. They take care of it for you and deliver it as well. Simple Simon's Pizza.
You can't beat it.
No. It's great.
Ayers Cleaners as well.
Ayers Cleaners. Don't forget about Ayers Cleaners. After you go to the Simple Simons, especially Tony, he needs to take his clothes to Ayers Cleaners.
That marinara.
I'm telling you. A little marinara sauce on the shirt.
They
lipstick on the collar.
They make sport of me because I take an extra shirt to every Leopard game because I know. I just know that I'm going to spill something on the shirt that I have. And I have to look good. I'm on the sidelines down there. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I'm not up in the booth where we put the trolls. I'm on the sidelines where people can see me, and they make fun of me for that.
You wouldn't know.
But I do take my stuff to Ayers Cleaners, especially my suits and my stuff that
needs to look good.
Yeah.
You got to look good on the sidelines. Greg, actually.
I don't wear a suit on the sidelines, by the way.
He doesn't. Okay.
No. I wear mine up in the – I got a tux that I wear on Fridays.
No pants, though, I've heard at the broadcast.
Just a coat.
Yeah.
Just
the
shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gives you a wider range, right?
That's right. It's when somebody looks in the window, it's like I look good.
His range is a little less wide, though, the last couple of weeks.
That's right. That's true. One other thing we got to talk about with the Walkers, though, also, they have a clinic in Dierks.
They do.
And it, you know, great care there also. So don't forget about that clinic if you're over in northern part of Howard County.
Yeah.
Go to the Walker Family Clinic over there.
That's right. Speaking of Dierks, Jeff Tuttle in studio.
Let's talk to him. Dierks had a bye last week, so... We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about playoff scenarios, Jeff. If you want to study up on this. Yeah. I know you studied up on it all week long.
I got some backup confirmation yesterday. We'll get into that.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. But
you got something you want to mention first, though, right?
The football team had the week off, but the Dierks Outlaw Cross Country had their district meet. I know y'all recognized the Leopards and Lady Leopards last week. We were about a week later, I guess. Both junior high teams were runner-up, and our senior girls won the district meet.
Great.
You know, they finished – Kaylee Mounts finished second, Carly Mounts third, Aspen Pugh fourth, Sydney Mounts fifth, Hannah Kirby sixth, Grace Thigpen seventh. And in the senior boys' division, they don't have a team, but Dylan Moore, he finished – I told you I was ready, and apparently I wasn't. He finished third in the senior boys.
Well, that's great. So he's going on to state.
Yes, him and those senior girls will be at Oaklawn Friday, I believe, is state.
Thursday's when ours is. I don't know if they're all Thursday.
Ours is Friday.
Okay, so. Thursday and Friday. Okay.
That is really cool. I wonder what it is about Southwest Arkansas that encourages great distance running, because we have more, huh?
Bears.
Yeah. more than our share in this part of the state of great distance runners.
Yeah, we really do. We really do, and congratulations to the Lady Outlaws and also to Young Moore there about going to state. That's great.
I think our Lady Outlaws are planning on contending for state.
Yeah.
You know, they think it should be between them and Quitman. So
good. That's great. If you had a couple of more mounts on there, you'd have it made, wouldn't you? What was there, three there in the first five or something?
Yeah,
that's amazing. Two of those girls are twins.
Yeah,
I know
the other
those
one's
girls.
A sister. The other one's older sister.
The other one's older sister.
Are they both cheerleaders as well?
No.
Okay. No. There's some mounts on the cheerleading squad, though, right?
Not this year, I don't believe there is. So none of this bunch, they'd rather run than cheer.
Yeah, well, hey.
You can catch them running through town nearly any time.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't catch them.
No, me either.
In a vehicle.
Okay. Well, back to football, Jeff. What do you want to talk about first, Mount Ida, or do you want to talk about the playoff scenarios? Let's talk about Mount Ida first.
Must win to get to the playoff scenario.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a must win for that loss.
It's a must win for them.
They're a bit of an enigma.
Yeah.
Because Hootens picks them second. They pick them as the fifth best team in 2A, and then we get a report that they're having trouble getting kids out to play. We know they're very well coached, and they struggle early on, and then they come out of nowhere and give Murfreesboro all they want, 8-6, a very, very, very good Murfreesboro team. So I'm not sure what to expect out of the Lions.
I'm not sure anybody is. As far as the kids playing on the field, you know, and I had heard against Murfreesboro that the quarterback got his leg broke. I hadn't confirmed that. But the one thing you can count on is they're going to be well coached, like you said.
Michael White.
They're going to run that split veer. They're going to run a 4-4 defense. And I told somebody the other day, I said, their linemen might weigh 150 pounds, but they're going to be in the right position and block. I mean, they know the scheme and know what to do from third grade up.
Yeah, Michael White, he's in his 10th year, 142-56.
Man.
That's what they call it. Not bad.
Yeah, that's right.
Two state championships in there for him.
That's exactly right. But y'all handled them last season, 38-22 at home, right?
That's got to be on their mind, too, wouldn't you think?
Well, way to look at the negative, Jeff.
Yeah, I look at all of it. I mean, they're looking to get in the playoffs, too.
That's right.
It's what we, you know, two weeks ago, we talked about the Outlaws and Poen. You know, the winner... When Poen won that game, they secured their spot.
Right.
So the 1, 2, and 3 is decided. Poen's the 3. Big game Thursday night at Murfreesboro Mineral Springs. They'll play for the 1 and 2. And then Outlaws are hoping to get that 4 seed.
Lions are very young. Sophomore quarterback. Their best running back's a junior. Their best wide receiver's a sophomore. So maybe they've just got better as the years got on.
Now do you want me to get to the confusing part?
Sure. Absolutely.
So must win game, going to Mount Ida, not going to be an easy task for the Outlaws.
No, though. Not at all.
Going to have to bring their A game.
A win puts us in a 3-way tie with Mount Ida and Lafayette County, or some people say
Lafayette.
Mm-hmm. Assuming that the Cougars beat Foreman, Mount Ida has 26 points. You can only get 13.
Yeah.
You know, each game. They have 26 points. We have 13. Lafayette County has 4. So if they beat Foreman, that would give them 17. We have 13.
If they beat them by 13 or more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We have 13, so we need to beat Mount Ida by 5 or more to get 18. And then, you know, Mount Ida has the most points, but we'd have a head-to-head.
And are you fortunate that it's a 3-way tie instead of a 2-way tie since y'all lost to Lafayette County earlier in the year?
Why do you want to confuse me like that?
I had
all this figured out.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember when Coach Sloan was coaching the Leopards, we came out on the wrong end of one of those 3-way ties where points were counted and, you know, we were the odd team out.
They would get us in a head-to-head.
That's right.
Came down like that, yes. So... there's a lot at stake Thursday night.
So you've got to win by 5. Friday. You've got to win by 5 points.
5 or more. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And that's assuming that Lafayette County beats Foreman by more than 2 touchdowns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Or beats them by at least 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and like we say, I don't know if we've said Friday night or how many times I've said it because I do that every year.
It's Thursday night.
It's a Thursday night game. It'll be the day after everybody listens to this. We hope they listen to it tomorrow.
Yeah. When is tomorrow?
Tomorrow is after today.
Okay.
And it will be
You can't get nothing by him.
No, you can't.
And it will be before that Thursday night game.
Okay, it'll be the day before Thursday, right?
Speaking of today, tomorrow, and Thursday, football weather's here, guys.
It is, man.
Just really in time
for the season, then.
Yeah, it looks like Thursday night's going to be, probably high 30s, maybe starting out. It's going to be real football weather. Going to have to put on a hoodie Thursday night. So
talking about
it's
us having
more than a hoodie,
yeah.
Talking about us getting together and having conversations about radio broadcasts and stuff. That'll be a good one day when we talk about some of the coldest places we've been. I've been to a few.
Yeah, well, you don't count because it's got to be in state.
Well, okay, but some of my coldest broadcasts have been actually baseball, softball, in those ones at the end of February and early March, colder than any football broadcast.
Me and Jeffrey Mounts talked about that last year at the tournament at Hope in softball. I told him, I said, it's colder tonight. You know, they played late.
Yeah.
I said, it's colder tonight than any football game we've done in the last few years.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I've been to some cold ones.
Yep. Yep.
Well, you know, speaking of Mount Ida and Lafayette County, the Foreman Gators come up in the conversation, and they've, I mean, by all accounts, have had a rough year. Lost 55-6 to Mount Ida on last Friday. But they, even though, I mean, that's the beauty of football and that's the beauty of conferences, although I don't see a lot of beauty in the conferences that the AAA deals out. But, they're still going to play a factor in this. They're still going to have a role in deciding who goes to the playoffs.
That's exactly right.
We're going to go with Brody Bearden, who was actually our Horatio State Bank Gators player of the game last week. He's their freshman QB who's kind of taken that on and ran with it. I know that it's been a rough season for the Gators, and it's a program that has a rich tradition, and hopefully they can get their footing soon and get back on the right track.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's been a tough year for them, and it seems like everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Boy, it's been Murphy's Law. It's been Murphy's Law for the Gators, I couldn't wish more that things, that this is the bottom and things start going up.
Yeah, well, that's our hope for Foreman, and congratulations to Brody Bearden as being the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Game. Jeff, just talk a minute about maybe where you think Dirks would go in the playoffs. Do you have you even
Bigelow.
Looked that far? Bigelow, okay.
I've never been there.
I don't know where Bigelow is. I know where most places are.
Up around Perryville.
Okay.
In that area.
Oh, okay.
We played at Perryville when I was in high school, but I've never.
Well, it's not too far then. Maybe an hour and a half or so, two hours?
Yeah, probably 2 hours or a little over.
Yeah.
We went and watched Centerpoint and Glen Rose Friday night. I got a friend who has a kid plays for Centerpoint, and Centerpoint played Bigelow earlier this season, and he said, they wore us out. He said, they're good.
That score kind of surprised me. I thought that would be a better game than it was.
Yeah. But so Bigelow will be the one seed out of two. Would they be the two, probably? 2A, we're the three.
Yeah.
Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. We've proven that over the last few weeks.
Well, one other thing we can talk about just for a minute, we really don't have a dog in this hunt, but there's a big game in Mineral Springs this Friday, Thursday night. Yeah, this Thursday night, the Mineral Springs Rattlers the Murfreesboro Rattlers go to the Mineral Springs.
Do they have your email too?
Probably. Don't worry, I'll get it. But that's probably going to be one of the best games in Southwest Arkansas for sure this year.
It should be. I mean, if on paper, it's definitely lining up to be that way. I think they match up really well. The Outlaws have faced them both and been defeated by both, and I thought the Rattlers were stronger on the line, offensive and defensive line, and I've heard since then that Mineral Springs might have had a few linemen out, so injuries at this time of the year, you don't know who's banged up and who's not. That's one thing about the Outlaws. We should get a couple of kids back this week that have sat out a few games. So
yeah, I could see the benefit of a bye right now.
Yeah.
As Ashdown got last week.
Right.
And Poen has that bye as a three seed in our conference. I told somebody last night, I said, it's a good time to be the three seed and get a bye.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Yep. Yeah, you're right about that. But, I mean, just looking forward to seeing what happens over in Mineral Springs Thursday night, because I think that's going to be a really good game. Mineral Springs got a really good team.
I should have some people keeping me updated, and if I do, I'll try to let y'all know at some point in our broadcast.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just send me a text or something, and we can do that.
You know, Bigelow, I'm just looking here. They're in the 1-2A. They're the best team in the 1-2A. And they've only won 32 ball games over the last 3 years.
I did see Friday night they defeated Conway Christian, who will be the 2 out of that, by 6 points or something like that.
Yeah, you all played Conway really well.
We were healthy and we were rolling at that time and probably should have defeated Conway Christian. But, I mean, you never know as the season goes on how things will wrap up for you. So we'll just hope that loss pull one off and I get another football broadcast after this Friday night. I love going to new places.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And unless you get there and you're broadcasting from the stands.
Well, yeah. And I've told people, I said, it's cool because you'll have the time change by then. I said, playoff season, you can roll up in a town, especially a small town like we're going to, and follow the stadium lights most of the time. And that's one of the coolest things ever to me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, we appreciate you coming in. We appreciate you all year long. We're looking forward to your report next week of a big Outlaw win and where you're, what's going to happen in the playoffs.
With that being said, good luck to the Lady Leopards and Leopards and Outlaws and Lady Outlaws in the cross country. We hope they all bring us some hardware home.
That would be really cool.
That would be really cool. We appreciate you so much. Go Outlaws.
Go Outlaws.
And it's time for us to announce the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Week, sponsored by Pilgrims. And our Pilgrim Player of the Week is going to be Leopard Jake Martin. 18 tackles, one tackle for loss, and one fumbled recovery. And he's our Pilgrims Player of the Area.
Nice.
Great job.
He was everywhere.
Yeah.
Probably the next closest was another Leopard, Cotto. This is Cotto, who has been Player of the Area and Player of the Week before, with 16 tackles.
Yeah.
Leopards played great defense the other night, and I'm glad to see Jake get recognized for that.
Yeah, great job.
Is he a senior?
Sophomore.
No, sophomore.
Yeah.
Most of our leading tacklers on the Leopards are underclassmen.
Yeah.
Good.
That's exactly right. And that brings us to our shelter insurance game of the week, Tony.
Absolutely. And one game this week has playoff implications, and that's the Dierks Outlaws and Mount Ida. They're the Lions? Yeah. And should be a great ball game. You know, all these games, it seems like that all these games are being played on Thursday. I kind of like to go to a game Friday night, but I don't know anybody's playing Friday night.
That's exactly right. Nobody's playing on Friday night. Everybody's around here anyway. Everybody's playing on Thursday
night. That's correct.
I think. But the Outlaws and the Lions Thursday night for the fourth seed in their conference. And basically, Outlaws have to win by at least 5 points.
That's right.
The way Jeff Tuttle had it figured, not
well,
us.
He's been studying on it for a couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, I know he has. I just don't know if he got any input from all his.
That came from Coach Ernest.
Yeah. Well, and here's what makes that interesting, at least to me, and I'm a bit of a sports nerd, is late in the ball game, and let's say that you are up by, you know, you're down three, you take the lead, then you're getting in where you're counting out, I've got to get as many points as I can, I'm going to go for two no matter what. Or am I a fourth down late in the game that you would not ordinarily go for, but you got to have those points.
Yeah.
And it could definitely change the way that you would coach a ball game.
Yeah, you're right, and it can make a difference. Those points are very important and very precious.
Yeah.
And
you could even see if Dierks would get out to a good start, that maybe they would Coach Ernest would never run the score up on anybody, but pile on a little bit more than normal just to make sure you have that cushion.
Keep his foot on the gas a little longer.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, and that brings us to the close of another episode of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. A lot of good input input from so many different people. We really appreciate everything that Philip Fields does for us, that Jim Cross does for us, that Jeff Tuttle does for us. But also appreciate Tyler Massey just doing an excellent job, not only being a co-host, but producing it, making us sound like we know what we're talking about.
Somewhat.
He probably has the toughest job in here.
That's you right. can only do so much.
And we want to and, send out some prayers and good wishes for Coach Bell, who's under the weather today, and hope he feels better soon.
Yep, sure do. Maybe he'll feel better by the time the podcast comes out. Then he won't be sick today.
Yeah, I'm going to have Tuttle come over and
explain that's exactly right. One other thing we want to do real quickly is we just want to mention our sponsors one more time. You got Pilgrims. You got Shelter Insurance. Jeff Woods Agency, you got Toad Thumper Lures, you got Gentry Chevrolet, you got Horatio State Bank, you've got
Harris Drug and Gifts.
Harris Drug and Gifts, thank you so much.
Queen Animal Hospital.
The Queen Animal Hospital and Nashdown Vet Clinic. And most importantly, our title sponsor, the Walker Enterprises.
Yes.
We appreciate all them so much. And I ran out of breath when I couldn't say
no, that. Of course. Yeah.
But we appreciate all of them so much. We couldn't do it without them. And we appreciate y'all listening to us. We'll see y'all next week.
See you next week.